My friends often ask me where I get my hair done, but I never tell them. I stumbled upon the salon by chance back in the days when I would change hairstylists after every cut. At the time, I had developed a bad habit of inventing a personality for myself over the course of a dye job or a nail appointment. It was a way to escape my daily life once per month, with no consequence and at little cost. That particular time, I'd said my name was Grace. I had chosen my favorite Hitchcock blonde, Grace Kelly, glacial but sensual, sophisticated but savage. My choice was not exactly random. A few years earlier, in college, I had dedicated my final essay to that hair color and its role in the famous director's films. That winter, I had gone into the salon with the firm intention of transforming myself into Grace for a few hours. Childish, but thrilling. I explained that I'd just gotten married after a rapid divorce. A passionate reunion with my childhood sweetheart, an American photographer I'd lost touch with for years and ran into again by chance at a gallery opening. Drawn like a magnet to one of the portraits on the wall, I had approached it and found his name on the mat at the bottom of the frame. By the time I realized it was my former lover, he was standing behind me. I'm not proud of this lie, but I assumed I would never go back to that salon. As it happened, that hairdresser gave me the most beautiful color I've ever had. In the following weeks, I received a shower of compliments about my blonde hair, cold and sensual at the same time. And although I continued to deny that it wasn't my natural color, I admitted to my friends that I do get a balayage from time to time. I tried other salons without ever managing to achieve that same color. Maybe it was Grace alone who succeeded in inspiring this lethal, icy blonde in my colorist, even though she wasn't familiar with Hitchcock's films, I asked her. So I had no choice but to return. Now I transform into Grace once a month to maintain my blonde and get my nails done impeccably. I recount my romantic escapades with my second husband, his latest exhibitions in New York, and my occasional sadness at not being able to have children. Today, I ask for a color that's slightly warmer than usual. I want to brighten things up ahead of summer. But it's important that the change not be too abrupt. I don't want my husband to notice, and a blonde that doesn't appear natural can easily seem vulgar. She doesn't change the length. I never cut off more than necessary because my husband prefers me with long hair. He loathes in-betweens, in life and in my hair. I buy several overpriced hair products that I'll hide in our closet with my other chamomile lightening sprays. Finally, I choose a pale pink for my nails. It's less sophisticated than an intense red, but I've seen several mothers picking up their children from school and at the tennis club with this color. When I leave the salon, my husband has only just left work, and we decide to meet directly at our friend's house. Nicolas and Louise are the proud parents of a little 3-month-old girl whom we will finally meet for the first time. I stop in a store downtown to find a gift for the baby. I choose a soft, stuffed whale that also serves as a pajama pouch. I had something similar when I was little, where I stashed my treasures, and what more beautiful gift is there than a hiding place? I also bring an illustrated children's book I found at an Anglophone bookstore last weekend. It's about adventure, with landscapes from all over the world, snowy mountains and infinite oceans, a canoe drifting on a raging stream, a hot air balloon flying over a sandy desert. Perfect for a little girl. My last stop is at the florist. Of course, I've done my research before arriving, typing in the search engine, "What kind of flowers do you give for the birth of a child?" I learned that I should bring white flowers, peonies or roses, for example. I tried to figure out which were the most chic. I suspect roses are a bit more common and the peonies more distinguished, but couldn't find a definitive answer. I hate asking for advice at the florist. I refuse to reveal that I know nothing, that I can't tell the difference between a violet and a pansy, that I would be incapable of picking out a daffodil, an iris, or a hyacinth. I prefer to do my research ahead of time. Women are supposed to know this kind of thing. Louise would never have needed advice to choose a bouquet. She would have wandered around the store with a smile, stopping from time to time to smell a flower, then turned to the sales clerk and declared, "You have a very beautiful store." At one point, she would have stopped short, surprised and enthralled. "Oh, you have honeysuckle again. How marvelous. The smell reminds me of my childhood. I'll take a few, maybe with two or three roses." But I didn't grow up in a house where honeysuckle bouquets infuse the living room, so I say as little as possible. The secret is not asking any questions. I don't ask how often to change the water, or if I should cut the end of the stems once back at home. My manicured fingers, my shiny hair, and the imposing diamond on my ring finger imbue me with the courage necessary to finally address the sales clerk. To give myself an air of importance, I even let slip that I'm in a rush, which isn't true. Pause at the lilies, then ask for a bouquet of peonies. I find the lilies quite beautiful, but I don't know enough about them. They are indeed white, but what if they're condolence flowers? Pink and white peonies, which conform to the advice of the site I consulted earlier, are a safer bet. As the florist prepares the bouquet, she announces, "It's wedding season. Everyone wants peonies. They make such beautiful bouquets. It's really one of my favorite flowers," she adds with a look of concentration as she snips expertly with her scissors. I crumple. "It's not for a wedding. It's for a friend who's just had a baby." I stammer, tears in my eyes. I've chosen the wrong flowers. I must have confused peonies and daisies. The florist looks up at me with large green eyes and smiles kindly. "Peonies also make for a very beautiful baby gift. These are flowers for happy occasions. They'll be perfect for your friend. Don't worry." I rush to pay, humiliated. In my hands, the bouquet seems much too large, like the bouquet of a young bride in a frilly princess dress. It's no match for Louise's elegance. Overly imposing bouquets are not at all refined. I realize that now. I consider throwing a few flowers in the trash to render it slightly more delicate and a bit less young girl in flower. But when I turn the corner of the street, my husband is already waiting for me in front of the building.
"Did you do something to your hair?"
he asks me with a quick kiss. When will he finally really kiss me? Anything less than 2 seconds is not the kiss of someone in love. I avoid his question, but he insists.
"Your dress is beautiful. Is it new? You look incredible, sweetheart."
Uneasy, I change the subject as I search for our friends' names on the intercom.